Well, we will continue in John chapter 11 today. Last week we finished off at verse 37, so we'll pick up John chapter 11, verse 38. John 11, 38. This is going to be the event of Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to a tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. So let's think of, are there any other similarities of another account that we're very familiar with that this sounds like? And there's a similarity here, of course, of what is about to happen to Jesus here in the next few weeks. This is very, very close. It's not long that they're going to kill Jesus. So I'm going to assume this is within the month. And because this next chapter 12, it's 6 days before the Passover. This is the same as Jesus was, that they buried their people in these caves or a place that was hewn out of rock and put a stone against it to cover it up to keep out varmints or whatnot. And then, of course, they specifically did it with another intention with Jesus, and that was to keep his apostles from stealing him, and even put a guard there at night. And but that still didn't stop the tomb from getting opened, and Jesus was not there. Okay, verse 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." So, this 4 days, how this came into effect and came into play was, by the time Jesus, by the time the messenger found Jesus and to tell him that Lazarus is sick, Lazarus had actually died. And then Jesus stayed there in Perea, in that region, for 2 days, 2 more days to finish up his affairs, because he never comes back. After this, he's going to go to Ephraim, and then 6 days before the Passover, he comes back to Bethany. So he never goes back to Perea. So he needed 2 days to finish up his affairs and his teachings. And then it was a 2-day travel from Perea to Bethany. So that's these 4 days. So by the time Jesus was notified, Lazarus was dead. Okay, and now he is stinking, and we all know that his body is decaying, and obviously Martha knew about this stench because they go and anoint the body with these oils and fragrances, just like they were going to do with Jesus. And that's what Mary Magdalene was, and even the other group of women with her, was going on that Sunday morning to go and anoint his body with these fragrances, and then Jesus wasn't there. Okay, so that's how Martha knew that Lazarus' body was already stinking, and we understand that here, 4 days, composition is well on its way, decomposition. Okay, verse 40. And now we notice, you know, she'd been doing so well up to this point. Now we have a little bit of a doubt that Martha is questioning. Here she knew about the resurrection. But anyway, she has some doubt. And so Jesus reaffirms her in this verse 40. Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And now, he did not say this to her directly, but he said this to her by way of the messenger. That was the message that he sent back from verse 4. And so, he's just reminding, I said this through the messenger. Why don't you remember this and realize that whenever I say something, it's going to take effect. And so now you're going to see the glory of God. Okay, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And here, this is going, we all understand that by them believing that Jesus was sent by God, meaning that he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one, the chosen one, the King of Israel that had been prophesied for hundreds of years previously. Okay, verse 43. Now when Jesus had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died, so Lazarus, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Okay. So Lazarus comes out of the grave, but he is bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face is wrapped with the separate grave clothes cloth. Well, does this sound like somebody else that we also know about? Of course, Jesus. This is exactly what, this was their custom. This is how they buried their dead. They wrapped them like a mummy in two pieces. One piece went across the whole body, and where the legs and the arms were all bound in one piece. And then the second was that they wrapped the head. So when we would look at it, we would call it, he was a mummy. And wrapped with these, what Kaufman said would have been thin strips of sheet. And just like what we would tear a sheet into these small strips, and then wrap the body all the way around. So here he is. He's tightly bound like this in his body up to his neck in one piece of mummy wrapping, and then his head in a separate mummy wrapping, just like Jesus was. Okay. So the question is that I had never thought about, how did Lazarus walk out of that grave? And the answer is, he did not. Lazarus did not walk out of the grave because he was not loosed until he came out of the grave. So what happened here? This is, and I had never even contemplated, I'd never heard anyone even say anything about this. But this made this miracle much more eye-popping, and this was also a proof that Lazarus, that this was not a con or a scam, that something else was going on. But obviously what happened here is Jesus levitated Lazarus, is what we would call it in modern terms, and levitated him out of that grave. He did not walk. He was tightly bound, legs and arms, and he was lying flat in this grave. How did he get up? He could not have bent at the torso to shift his weight to get up off of either the ground or off of a platform that he would have been lying on, because he was tightly bound like a mummy. And so Jesus had to have levitated him up and then levitated him out. And then they loose him afterward. Yes?
There's also that strip, that one continuous strip that they used that was glued together with, like Jesus with myrrh and aloe, which is sap, sticky sap. So the strips are stuck to the body, and the strips are stuck to each other.
That's good. And so the strips being glued or stuck together like a, I don't know if plaster of Paris is the right term, but it made it real hard. And so it was a encasing, and he was encased. He was like in a tomb in this own. And we got the same thing with Jesus. And when Jesus resurrected, it was like his body came through or disappeared through this. But whenever the apostles looked inside, they still saw the three dimension in the form of Jesus' body. It's just it was empty. There was nothing inside this encasing of this mummy. It was just the mummy wrapping that was a glued or plaster of Paris type of a thing that still held its three-dimensional shape. Just no body was inside, and they could tell that because you had a difference of at the neckline. You had the head wrapping separated from the body wrapping. And so there was no head. No head, and then they could look and see there was no body inside. It was just an empty cavity. Yes?
So the translation here is face. It's the word is head.
Head.
For head is the word. And they did not cover the face.
Okay.
No Jewish man would be caught dead or alive with his face covered. Speaking of Jesus over there, it says that the head wrapping was entangled in its folds. What it was a turban.
Okay.
That same 3 to 4 inch wide linen strip that they wrapped the body with. They then, when they finished, they put a turban on the
his cap of his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was entangled like a turban, and the Greek word is entangled in its fold. Now, I've heard all my life with a handkerchief laying over the face, Jesus got it folded it up. That's not what the Greek says. It says it's lying there in its fold. In other words, it had not even been moved. Nothing had been moved except the body.
Okay.
Go back and look at the Greek. We do it with King James.
The English doesn't come across as well, but the original Greek retains that. Yes, all that's good. But
100 pounds of tree sap is a lot of glue.
Okay, right.
But yes. Jesus was buried in the manner of the Jews. It says he was buried in the manner of the Jews. Is to bury. And they would use 175 to 100 pounds of that tree sap.
Oh,
that's
my.
Sticky, sticky stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of glue, everything together.
Yes. And then we can reasonably assume that Lazarus was buried in the same custom. This was the Jewish, the Israelite custom. And Lazarus was done exactly the same way as Jesus would be buried here in a few weeks. But with this levitation coming out that Lazarus did not walk. And we notice the term, Kaufman pointed this out, in verse 44, it did not say he walked out, he came out. And this was important also that people realized, and there was no questioning that Lazarus had been dead. Now, this is what could have happened. If Lazarus had walked out of the grave, it could have been that he was in there and had plenty of food and water behind this rock, and they could have had a stinking, rotten animal that they put in there for the smell. So this could have been a trick, but Lazarus coming out levitated, not walking out, that was enough of a visual effect that there were never any questions. In fact, even the Pharisees, when they hear this report from these other sympathizers that came, followed Mary from her house, that they run and tell the Pharisees, there's no doubt. No one is doubting that this actually happened. So any questions or comments on this?